Today is Good Friday. It is called Good Friday because in earlier centuries it was called God's Friday, the most solemn day of the entire year, liturgical year. Even in our society, some businesses, but Wall Street is closed today to show at least some respect for Christianity. So you see before you the desolation of the sanctuary. The altar is bare, it is stripped. The priest wears black vestments, symbolizing mourning and death and sorrow. What we do today at this very moment is more important than anything else in your life. Because at the third hour, as you know, with the liturgical year, they have third hour and they go through the whole day. But our Lord, as it's described in the Gospels, 3 hours, the third hour after he was crucified, he died. So it was at this very moment, 3 in the afternoon, that he died after being on the cross for 3 hours. So you see the austerity of this sanctuary compared to last night. Now our Lord, by dying on the cross, saved us, redeemed us from our sins. You know that. But this day emphasizes two very important points of why the crucifixion took place. The first is the enormity, the great evil of sin. And the second is the great love of our Lord, of God, to save us from those sins. Our sorrow at this moment that we should feel intellectually but physically is more about our sins that cause the sufferings of Christ. That should be in our minds and our hearts. What each of us did, each of us committed sins that brought our Lord to do this great work of redemption. And the act of crucifixion, this ingenious, we can say, way of putting enemies to death of the Romans. They invented this practice of crucifixion. Probably led by demons. But they figured that they can cause the greatest torture to the human body without violating or hurting the vital organs. So it caused sheer suffering. And our Lord wanted to undergo this type of death for us 2,000 years ago, to show, as I said earlier, how terrible our sins are and how much he loves us to undergo that type of suffering to save us. At The stational church for today's Good Friday liturgy is the Basilica of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem in Rome. What that means is they mention Jerusalem because Saint Helena, the mother of Constantine, decided to go on an archaeological expedition to find the true place of our redemption, to find Calvary, because it had been hidden by the enemies of Christ. And so they excavated what was thought to be this area, and decades after our Lord ascended to heaven over the early centuries, they covered Calvary with a garbage dump. That's what they did, to show contempt for God. But she was led by God to do this. So she, being wealthy herself and the mother of the emperor, commissioned men to take huge amounts of soil on barges through rivers in the Mediterranean Sea and brought it to Rome, and they put all this soil on this site and built a great basilica. So that's why it's called Basilica of the Holy Cross at Jerusalem, but it is in Rome. And it is, had the privilege, some of us, I did, had the privilege of visiting there, to be standing on the very soil drenched with the blood of Christ. And they have in that church some fragments of the true cross and one of the nails that pierced our Lord's flesh. So it was a very moving experience to be there. But as Catholics, as true, sinful, yes, but true followers of Christ, that we follow the entire Catholic religion. We feel sorrow for our sins and sorrow at seeing and knowing about our Lord being crucified on the cross, and in a little while you'll see the crucifix exposed through this beautiful liturgy. And so we should have confidence in our Lord. You know why? Because he gives us the ability to conquer sin the way he did. We are one with his flesh, especially through the Holy Eucharist. So if a person is enchained by sin, a slave of sin, tempted, you call upon the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ to save you. And it is important that we all keep to our promises. What I mean by that is, Holy Week can inspire us to lead a life converted from our sinful ways. Isn't that right? But then Easter comes, and the weeks after Easter and Pentecost, and what happens? Lukewarmness, forgetfulness, indifference creep into our life, and we fall back into those valleys of death again. And this is a day to promise once and for all, we're not going to do that anymore. And we promise we're not going to, because we have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who suffered and died for us, who will help us, who will inspire us. And he will, if we are faithful, Keep those enemies away from us, those bad friends, bad relatives, bad fellow workers, bad leaders, Satan himself and his fellow demons. He permits us to be tempted, remember that. He allowed himself to be tempted. But it's a test to see if we're going to be faithful. That's why he permits us to be tempted. So you call upon his name and the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and your guardian angel, and you'll be protected. Not once do you call upon it, not twice, not 10 times, not 100. You do it always throughout the day. Those names are extremely powerful in overcoming the enemies. Now, there are five parts to today's solemn liturgy. The first is, after these words, which we put at the beginning so that you are all instructed and inspired by the grace of God to be as fervent as possible. The first part is the prostration and the prayer. So it is a recalling, this opening prayer, that the sin we inherited is destroyed. It is destroyed because we die with Christ. The old man in us is put to death by the grace of God in union with the death of Jesus Christ. Now you know when our Lord prayed, he prayed as a man. Our Lord is God and man, but when he prayed as a man. And so we can be inspired to imitate how he prayed, especially in the agony of the garden, when he prayed so fervently with so much suffering that he sweat blood. Let it really happen, and that can happen to people who are enduring horrific suffering. The perspiration turns to blood. Second part of today's liturgy is the two readings from the Old Testament and then the chanting of the Passion according to St. John the Apostle. And the first reading is summed up that God desires from us more than sacrifice. Because remember, in the Old Testament, they would, by God's instruction, it's written down by Moses, to perform all these sacrifices. But they were meant to show an interior sacrifice of themselves. And a lot of the Hebrew people forgot that. They were meant to prepare and be examples as types of what was going to come with the New Testament, with our Lord. But God desires mercy and the knowledge of God more than sacrifice. And the second reading shows a brief explanation of how Moses had heard from God about the Passover rite, how the Paschal Lamb was to be prepared and sacrificed and eaten as a symbol, as a type of the true Lamb of God, our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Remember, as Father said last night, the Holy Eucharist is the center of our lives. That is why this community exists, for the Holy Eucharist, which will be brought back permanently tomorrow night at the Easter Vigil, the Midnight Mass. The tabernacle is empty now to show the desolation that even when you come to church on Good Friday, our Lord's not physically present. Notice the sanctuary lamp and all the candles are extinguished because the light of the world is not here. The church directs the clergy to keep the Blessed Sacrament safe in the sacristy, hidden. And the Passion, according to St. John, one of the most beautiful chants of the church, is different from the other accounts of St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. Luke. Theirs were more historical. They're called the synoptics because where you get the word synopsis, the summary, the brief description of what happened with our Lord. But with him, his was more as an eyewitness, and as you know, he's much younger than the rest of the apostles. And he had a special love for our Lord, and our Lord had a special love for him because of his innocence. He was the only person that accompanied the Blessed Virgin Mary and then St. Mary Magdalene, who were there at that key moment when our Lord died on the cross. And it is a most solemn words, very poignant words, especially when our Lord tells St. John, "Behold your mother." And when he says to the Blessed Virgin Mary, "Behold your son." And that is the day when the Blessed Mother became our mother completely. Imagine the suffering that she had on this day, second only to our Lord's. It said if it hadn't been for special grace, she would have died. But no, she didn't. She didn't fall down. She stood like a mature woman, like the Mother of God. But her sufferings were greatly increased when our Lord said those words, "Behold your son," because then she had all the sins of her children, of all of us, to suffer for too, secondary to our Lord. The third part of this liturgy is the chanting of the solemn collects and prayers. So, in a very beautiful and unique way, the priest prays for the Pope, all the clergy, all the faithful, political leaders, catechumens, those studying for the faith, the needs of the faithful, it's all of you, those who are sick or in prison or hungry or in error, the heretics, schismatics, those who suffer disease, those who travel, all to call down God's blessing on these people, on all of us, and whatever our needs are. And see how selfless our Lord is and how selfless the church is, because here we have our Lord dying on the cross for us. And Holy Mother, the Church, is including prayers for us, the poor lost sheep, while her Savior is suffering and dying on the cross. That should move us. Move us to put away those chains of sin that may still afflict us. The fourth part of the ceremony is the unveiling and the veneration of the cross. So a smaller cross is brought in by the priest, as you know. And with very beautiful chant, he unveils it slowly while we adore the cross. You know why the cross is adored? On this day, we genuflect before the cross, and also on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, because the actual cross of Christ was drenched in the sacred, most precious blood of our Lord. We have in the shrine on the left there a tiny sliver of the true cross. You should go to the Sacred Heart Shrine often and look at that. Even though it is very small, it is connected to the very instrument of our Lord's passion and death. And this veneration, as we perform it here, reenact those rites. It was done in the 4th century in Jerusalem. Over 1,700 years ago, these rituals. And it emphasizes the value of the cross itself. Because our Lord, as God has done from the very beginning, because we are small, ignorant human beings, He uses paradoxes and symbols to convey His beautiful truths to us. So the cross, which for the early Christians was a shameful sign, because they'd seen not only our Lord, but countless other, hundreds, thousands of other Christians crucified. But it came to a certain point where the symbol was realized that this is the cross. This symbol is a sign of life after death. So it shows the power of this instrument that our Lord chose. It's His judgment seat. It's an instrument of punishment, but also one of salvation and life. That's why we make the sign of the cross. Devoutly, always devoutly, do not make the sign of the cross haphazardly. It's offensive. I've told you some years ago, when the fellow sisters of Saint Bernadette saw her make the sign of the cross, they were astounded, because she learned how to make the sign of the cross from the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. Because it is a very powerful sacramental, and that's why it's used so much in the church and at the Mass. And the cross is not only the source, but it is a symbol of our Lord's most exquisite virtues of humility, of silence. He spoke very little while He was on the cross for 3 hours. His patience, and especially His great love for each one of us. You know this, but do you know that when He was dying on the cross, He had in His mind each one of us right now? each one of us was recalled and remembered and loved. Because his human mind was united to the infinite divine will and intellect. That's why we should be very careful before we consent to sin. Because it cost our Lord his very life. This is what we do with this liturgy, especially the most sacred liturgy and mass of the entire year, the Easter Vigil midnight mass tomorrow, is why we, servants of the Holy Family, exist, and why all of you do, and why you come to this small chapel. To be a part of it, to love it, to defend it, to make it the very purpose of your life. And then finally, the fifth part is Holy Communion. Because Holy Mother, the Church, does not want us to be without the Blessed Sacrament. So we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ on this day. Remember, the Holy Eucharist is both sacrament and sacrifice. Our Lord is made present on the altar at the Mass. And you know, but don't forget it. Not only think about it, but appreciate it, that when you assist at Mass, it is the reenactment of what happened on today. Making present again what our Lord wanted the apostles to do. Make present again his death, but in a sacramental form. Meaning our Lord would not suffer and die again, but he would, through the instrumentality of the priest, in a very mystical way, make present his death by the double consecration. They are consecrated separately because our Lord on the cross had his blood removed from his body as he was tortured, pierced with the nails, and then finally the piercing with the lance of the soldier. Because blood is a sign of life. And when we lose blood, and we lose all our blood, we die. So in the Mass, that separate consecration of the wine symbolizes the blood of Jesus that was separated from his sacred body when he died on the cross. Our dispositions, finally, should be to voluntarily enter into the very thoughts, the very heart of Jesus Christ on this day. That means denial of ourselves, of our own will. To deny our evil dispositions, it's summed up in, frankly, being a friend of God instead of his enemy. And as we already know, the victory was won on this day because he conquered sin and the devil and death, because just a few hours later, at midnight on Easter Sunday, he rose from the dead, glorious and immortal, with his true body, glorified true body, and that by his conquering death that we can too also. What does that mean? Yes, we all have to face death. Every one of us here will die. The key is to be prepared, and this is the most perfect day to be prepared for our death. Because the secret is, if every day, or as often as you can, you unite your life, but also your intention, you make the intention to, the day you die, to unite it with our Lord's death, you know what's going to happen? Our Lord won't forget those prayers. And when you die, or you're near death, you'll very likely have the priest next to you consoling you and giving you extra unction. And then you will, just like our Lord, be able to die maybe and go a short time in purgatory and go to heaven. And the victory, as I said a moment ago, is already won, because we know when our Lord comes, the second coming, he will be complete conquering of his enemies who still were on the earth. And everyone who has ever lived will receive his body back. Those who have been his enemies from day one will get their bodies and be cast into hell, locked up with Satan and the devils for all eternity, because they don't want to be a part of Christ. They're not even sorry in the least. Okay, don't ever feel sorry for a person who is blaspheming Christ. Yes, you pray for them. And it is unfortunate if a person loses his soul and goes to hell. But that is the justice of God. For us, finally, we will, God willing, have victory and be able to go to heaven. And we have that confidence that's right inside of our very beings, that if we're faithful, we will reach salvation. But as you know, we have to do our part, and that's why we're here today. Here is the prayer we all know that I will finish these words with. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Suffer me not to be separated from thee. From the malicious enemy, defend me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee forever and ever. Amen.